kingdom. Pray, God, that you open our hearts to your scriptures and help us, God, to learn lessons, even though we're reading a very familiar story. Help us, God, not to feel too familiar, not to learn new things, God. We thank you, God, for everything. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. We're going through the series of the Old Testament, and I choose the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A very popular story, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Daniel. It's going to be both sharing and like a discussion along the line. So I would like someone to read the first three verses. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Who would like to read?
Chapter 3, verses 1 to 7.
Yeah.
King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officers, officials, assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then, did you say up to seven?
Seven, yeah, yeah, seven, yeah.
Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O people, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace." And seven as well?
Seven, yeah, one to seven.
Okay. "Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up."
Thank you very much. Yeah, a big background of the story. We all know Nebuchadnezzar, the king, after he conquered, he was able to set aside actually four young Jewish men who were very wise and able to stand out. And it happened that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among the three. The fourth is Daniel. But Daniel is not actually mentioned in this story. Now, the portion we've read talked about how he set up a golden image and commanded that everyone in the kingdom of Babylon should bow down and worship whenever the musical instruments are played, okay? Now, the command was that everyone must obey, you know, and bow down to worship. Now, failure to obey this command meant being thrown into the blazing furnace. And, of course, up to the point we read, everyone obeyed, right? Now, I tried to look at this situation and realize that it's like a popularity contest. It's like people were called to make sure they obey the command to bow down and worship. And some people are not going to know the reason why they were there or why they were supposed to worship, but the fact remains that an order was set and people were, you know, were asked to obey, and everyone bowed down and they obeyed. Now, I want to relate it to what is happening in today's world. If you look around, you notice that there seems to be this thing about, okay, what is in vogue? People seem to be swayed by things that are popular, by popularity. And of course, it's not everything that is popular that is bad, you know, but there are some things that are so-called in vogue that can be negative and can have negative influence on us. If we want to look around us, are there some things we can probably look around that seems to be in vogue, that people are easily influenced. Not the bad one, there might be a good one as well, but I want us to just look around. Have you noticed anything around you today or in the society at large that seems to be, you know, as an influence of what is popular, quote unquote? For instance, talk about social media, you know. Some years ago, it's not very popular to see people with tattoos on their body, right? But if you look around today, a lot of people seem to put tattoos. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's becoming popular because a lot of people are doing it, right? Talk about piercing. I'm just talking about some instances, you know. Even when we work, sometimes we might see trends that people do, and we tend to want to, you know, copy them. But I'm just trying to let us understand that from what we've seen, King Nebuchadnezzar called the entire kingdom, that whenever they hear the sound of the music and everything, everyone was bowed down and worship, and then they worship. Now, we're told that three people did not take part in this worship, and that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why did they refuse to bow down and worship? Who can share with us? Why do you think they didn't join in the worship?
Should we read that first? We haven't read that.
Okay, I'm going up with the assumption that this is a well-known story.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to adjust my assumption then.
No.
Okay.
No, it is a well-known story.
Refused to be idolatrous.
Pardon?
They refused to be idolatrous.
Yes. Can someone, okay, let me quickly read Daniel chapter, Exodus 23-5, which talked about why they refused to obey what King Nebuchadnezzar commanded. 20:3-5 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am your God, I'm a jealous God, punishing the children." Okay, just stop at that place. So we're told that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down and worship. They chose to obey God rather than to obey men. Now, the king was such a powerful person, but that did not influence their decision to follow the scriptures, you know, to obey God. Now, for our convictions to grow, okay, we need to look at this guy, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they are very familiar with the scriptures, they were to stand out from the crowd. They did not obey the command of the king. Even though the king was a very powerful king, and they are threatened that they're going to be thrown into the furnace, but they chose to obey God because they're very familiar with the scriptures. Now, the point I want to draw for us here today is that we need to be very familiar with our scripture. We need to take our Bible study very seriously. Because like I said earlier, there are some trendy things that if we're not careful, we may want to copy because everybody else seems to be doing it. But our understanding of the scripture will help us to be able to differentiate from what is godly and what is ungodly when it comes to following, you know, what is trendy. I earlier said that it's not everything that is famous or trendy that is bad in itself, but it is how deep our Bible study is that will help us to have the ability to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. So the question is, how is our Bible study? How is it going as, you know, as disciples? Are we taking the Word of God on a regular basis, studying it, and making efforts to, you know, to make it our daily companion in terms of our lifestyle? We're going to read Daniel 3:15, and the point I have is that your faith will be tested. Verse 15 says here, Daniel 3, let's go back there, it says, verse 15, yeah, it says here, "Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship, the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Now this was King Nebuchadnezzar. After the first time, the day of the dedication, that the musical instrument was played and everybody bowed down and worshiped the image of gold. But because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not turn up, they were reported to the king. I said, look, these guys that you have put in charge are not obeying you. In fact, they're not worshiping your God. So they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar. And while before him, of course, he was furious that, look, who dare stands against his command? So he brought them before him, and he said, he gave them another chance. So he gave them a second chance to be able to confirm if they're going to obey or not. Now, the point I want to really make here is that sometimes in life, when you're standing by your conviction and then you're given another chance, or your conviction is being questioned by quote unquote another chance, it gives room for us to want to rethink about our conviction. Mm-hmm. It gives us room to want to compromise. And this was the dilemma, I believe, the three Jewish guys were in at this point. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because when the king called them, you know, mind you, at this point, there was just the three of them facing the king and the entire congregation. And look, I heard that you guys did not obey the command to bow down. Now I'm going to give you a second chance. If when these things are played, I want you to bow down to the image of gold and worship. Now, let's put ourselves in their position. What's going to be our thought or our frame of mind at this stage if you find yourself, you know, in this situation that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves? What would be the state of your mind? What would you be thinking?
I think the immediate thing would be that fear could grip you.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's either a question of you give in to fear, or you keep your focus on the word of God, or keep your focus on God. Because the minute you grip in, give fear, give in to fear, that say is going to grip you.
Okay. The temptation is their level of fear may want to increase if, as an individual, obviously they must have contemplated the fact that, look, we're going to be thrown into the furnace. But they made up their mind that, look, we're going to stand by God. And now the king and them alone now say, you guys, you refuse to obey me. This is your last chance.
Yeah, I think I would have given in. Personally, I would have just tried to fool myself and say, you know, live it today and fight another day. Don't worry, I'll worship God and I'll try and convince other people to become Christians later. So then I'll just do this little thing. I would have given up. I don't think I would have split up.
I don't think any of us will fit in life in that situation. I mean, these guys are, it's like, you're going to either die or you're going to live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a bit in that club. I don't think I'd even say, not going to worship this. It's just sort of think, okay, in my own head, I think, okay, how can I make this work for now?
Mm.
And then, you know, it's almost decided that we can make it up down the road, or there's going to be a bigger purpose to this. You know, right now, maybe God is just, you look for the signs that God is saying, do it another way.
Yes. The temptation will be there to compromise, right?
Yeah.
Because it's also, it's like, well, God is a gracious God, he'll forgive me, or whatever. And you kind of rationalize it away like that somehow, because it's more convenient to do that rather than to say, okay, well, throw me in the fire then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's also, fool yourself by saying, oh, all right, well, what I'll do is I'll just sort of make a show as if I'm worshiping, but in my heart I'm not worshiping this God, right? God knows my heart. I'll just sort of go through the motions to kind of escape this really serious, intense situation.
Yeah.
I think someone will do that.
I think it's important for us to realize that this is a
story about being asked to worship.
Another one, yeah.
It seems like it's a life and death situation that we're facing. And we're saying, if it was a life and death situation, we would do that. Frankly, we'll sell ourselves for much less.
So true.
And we'd probably do that every day. Worshipping other gods. So it's not really that distant a scenario.
Yeah.
It's something that every time that we do this for now, it can be putting the quiet time aside for just looking at that three emails that need to urgently go out in the morning, which then take control of you for the rest of the morning time that's set for quiet time or whatever else. So I think it's a very real daily battle.
I think thanks. I mean, I appreciate all the sharing. You know, I think the point here is the temptation to compromise will always be there. And once you compromise once, there's the urge, you're definitely going to compromise the second time. And that's the downfall of anybody. If once we compromise, once you also give a little room for a change of heart. And the people have also rationalized and said, look, everybody else was doing it anyway, and God will understand, or they were foreigners in that time, and God would definitely understand that they were under bondage or under the control of the king. But we have no excuse to compromise when our faith are tested. I want to quickly make a reference to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. If you're there before me, you can please read it. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7, talking about our faith.
First Peter 1?
Yeah, 6 to 7.
Okay, I can read that.
Thank you.
In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Said our faith will be tested, okay? And it's to prove the genuineness of our faith. On a daily basis, we face situations that are similar to this, but they might not be about life and death, when our faiths are tested in our daily lives. How strong is our faith? One thing I need to let us understand is the strength of our faith will be determined by how close we are in our relationship with God. If your relationship with God is not as solid, is not something we take very seriously, we will have compromised long before we realize that we're not taking our relationship with God very seriously. And just like these three men, our faith will be tested on a daily basis. Other different circumstances. It might be due to our prayers not being answered on time. It might be due to, where we're looking up to God for something and it's taking a while before that gets done. So the strength of our faith will definitely be determined by how close we are in our relationship with God. So the question is, how is our relationship with God going on a personal basis? If it's not going very well, I think it's calling us to that, level of challenging ourselves, okay? Now, just to continue in Daniel 3, which is our main scripture, I'll quickly read verse 16 to 18 in Daniel 3. It says there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You see, these guys there, they really prove that they have a deep conviction about God coming to their rescue. And take note what they said, that but even if he does not rescue us, we will not, will not worship, to the idol. See, their faith is not dependent on God blessing them or the assurances that God was going to save them. Sometimes our faith are stronger when things are going very well for us. But when things are not going the way we want, our faith tend to be shaky, or our relationship with God tend to be on the weaker side. And the point here is that these guys, they were ready that, look, even if God doesn't rescue them, they are ready to stand and not bow down and worship that idol. Is our faith in God conditioned on how he's blessing us? Is it conditioned on how things are going smoothly for us? Or is it God is going to be God no matter what, and therefore my faith is going to be strong in him? We need to realize that God will never change no matter the situation. And because of this, our faith should not also change, because God will always prove himself to be God anyway. And that's very important for us to have in our mind. And now the third point I have is, I say, there's a reward if we persevere. There's a reward if we persevere in our faith in God. I'd like someone to please read verse 24 to 30, which is the last section of that Daniel chapter 3. You don't mind, anybody?
Yeah, 24
to 30.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Were there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and those straps, satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore I decree that the people or of any nation or language who say anything against the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their house be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, as the story went on, we're told that the king was very furious because they were still proclaiming their faith in God. And in anger, the furnace was heated seven times more than the normal temperature, to the point that those who bound them and put in the furnace were actually killed. But the three of them survived it, and they not only survived it, they were also joined by an angel who was referred to someone that looks like the Son of God. And they were there in the fire. Nothing happened to them. They held their head. Everything was just, you know, remarkably in the perfect state it was. Of course, this is very amazing. And this just goes to show that, you see, God is ready to prove himself if only we can persevere. Because he did this to these guys. He never let them down. King Nebuchadnezzar and all the other people were there. King Nebuchadnezzar was ready to make a very good example of them, you know, to the whole kingdom, that whoever disobeyed him was going to be killed. But they refused to compromise, and they were to stand their ground. Okay, the king couldn't intimidate them, just like people have been intimidated in that kind of situation. But they couldn't be intimidated. They did not compromise. And at the end of the day, what did they do? They made God very proud, because King Nebuchadnezzar was at the end of the day proclaiming that whoever goes against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be what? Should be cut into pieces. Should be punished. He became the one that started, you know, preaching, you know, advocating for the worship of the living God. And this is something that we need to realize, that when we stand our ground and remain faithful under whatever circumstances, we're inadvertently, you know, proclaiming God. We're sharing our faith by not compromising in those things that could have made us to compromise. And by so doing, you know, we can win souls even for God, because people will be able to say that, look, this man is unique. This man stands out. He's quite unlike the rest of them. And that is what happened with King Nebuchadnezzar. The three of them stood out, and they went to make that mark and say, look, these men are true, they're serving the true God, and therefore whoever says anything against their God must be punished. At the end of the day, they were rewarded by promotion. So I just want to encourage us that when we stand our ground, when our faith have been tested, when things don't really go the way we're expecting, and we remain faithful in God, we should know that God has a bigger plan for us, just like he had for these men. He has a bigger plan, and he's going to fulfill his plan in our lives, if only we just persevere a little while. The time between when they stood their ground and when God saved them wasn't really much. So if they had changed, if they had compromised, it would have been a worse situation. So I just want to encourage you that no matter what we go through, we should just persevere. It might look long in our eyes, but in the eyes of God, it's a very short time. And he's going to definitely make, you know, because he's going to be very proud of us and bless us at the end of the day. Amen. So that's what I have for us.
Amen.
Yeah. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.